welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and joining me, we've got James Bitter. He's back, stolen laptop and all, and Austin Tark. James, before we get into it, let's see what happened to your laptop.
It's just a typical Monday night. Walked into 7-Eleven to get a water. I actually was debating on getting a Slurpee, so I walked over and like filled up a Slurpee.
Slurpee?
Yeah.
How old are you? You're an adult.
What time of night was it for a Slurpee?
8:15. Okay. I was after class. After practice, after class, went over there, took a sip of it. I was like, I can't do this. It's too much sugar right now. Dumped it out. Got my water. Got in the car. Driving down the street, and it said my passenger seat door was open. And I looked over, and my backpack wasn't there. And then realized someone took my backpack, which had my computer, amongst other things, but mostly my computer. So I turned around and talked to the guy in 7-Eleven, which really didn't do anything.
Was he Indian?
Yes, he didn't speak any English, dude. It's so hard.
Then how are you talking?
And then he said they'd call me back the next day with the footage, and they never called me back. Ended up getting a new computer. So we're all settled now, but wild 24 hours.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well,
I would start locking your car. Just a tip from a friend.
Probably, I would say that's a pretty good call. Week two has passed, and unfortunately, it was a bad day for Austin 9 best bets. But somehow we still went 4-1 each, and James went 4-1 too, and he hit on his best bets. So Austin and I are 0-2 to start. James is 2-0. There is an early leader in the clubhouse.
Joke.
James, anything to say?
I mean, wasn't this all what we expected?
This guy.
Right.
No, again, we have to root for each other.
Of course.
If James ends up winning all 17, good for him. We're rooting for him. But we know at the end of this thing, it's going to be me. So.
Yeah, whatever, bro.
I've got no comment. Any quick week two reactions before we just get straight on into best bets?
Who still has a healthy quarterback is something to monitor. It seems like every quarterback got hurt last week. But it seems like a lot of guys are recovered, such as Baker. Looks like Big Ben might play. Derek Carr might play, but something to monitor. And then finally, I was a couple quarters late, but Justin Fields finally arrived. And that's my big takeaway. I'm looking forward to seeing him make his appearance in week three.
Yeah. I'm ready for the overreaction to overreaction Sunday week. I think we're all in agreement that all the sides this week were giving us a lot of trouble. So we definitely had a hard time picking best bets, but I love a bunch of totals this week. So I'm excited to get to them. Anything, James?
No, I mean, I didn't have too many takeaways from last week. Just, I think a lot of teams are overvalued right now and undervalued just based off 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. Best bets. Just head right on into it. We'll start with James. You are in first place right now, a commanding 2-game lead. James, you have something in Saints Patriots. I'll just kind of set the line, then you can get into it. Patriots are lane 3 at home, and the total's at 42.5. James, what do we like here for your best bet?
We like the Saints +3. Low total game. I think the 3 points could definitely matter here. If you look at last week, we saw the Saints just get obliterated on the road, and we saw the Patriots cruise on the road. If you look further into those games, you realize the Saints didn't have any coaches last week. I think they're probably a little hungover after just dismantling the Packers. Tough spot for them. And then the Patriots on the other side got the lowly Jets, and they took care of them. But if you look at the box score, they were actually outgained by 76 yards. They won the turnover battle 4-0. So that's what led to that score. I mean, their offense was really anemic. I think that Saints defense is really, really good. And as long as Jameis doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Saints actually win this game. So I'll gladly take the 3 here. I think it's going to be a really low-scoring game. I still lean to this under, even though it's come down quite a few points. But I think the Saints are super live here. I love a +3.
Austin, what do you think?
I'm pretty mixed spread-wise. I've just been kind of going back and forth. I just think there's a lot of unknowns from the Saints. I mean, one, injury concerns-wise, we definitely have to monitor their Lattimore didn't play last week. who's the guy? Gardner Johnson is limited in practice, but I got a feeling they might go. So that'll be something to monitor as the Sunday approaches. I don't like that. I think they're fatigued. This is now their third straight road game for them, considering that they had to play their home game in Jacksonville. Defense was on the field for 40 minutes last week in their blowout against the Panthers. And yeah, their coaches were out with COVID concerns, but I haven't heard updates. Are they back? Are they having a normal week of preparation this week? Considering, I don't know if they're all fully allowed to be in contact with one another. So it's kind of tough for me to take the Saints. I don't necessarily lean the Patriots side. I'm more so on just on the over. I think this total is just too low. We're looking at 42.5 with a total that low. It should be only for legit defenses or very weak offenses. And I just, James called the Patriots offense anemic, and I don't think it's fantastic, but they did what they had to do against the Jets. They were dominant from the get-go, and they just kind of just sat on the ball. The Patriots D-line, like, the defense has looked better, but they've also faced two of the worst offensive lines in football, and that's why their D-line has had so much success. The Saints have the offensive line to negate that. I just think that their offenses have enough talent here, and the defenses aren't that good. Like, they're both probably top 10, fringe top 10, but they're not overpowering where this total should be where it is. So I lean the over the most here.
Yeah, you kind of talked me into it there. I think I'd lean more towards the Saints team total over. Like, Matthew Judon is, he didn't practice yesterday. I probably should look today. But, I mean, if he's not there, it should really open things up for Alvin Kamara and just the Saints run game. In terms of a side, I think it's really important the Saints are getting healthy. Eric McCoy is still going to be out, so you're going to have to depend on the Saints actually do have center depth. They drafted a first-round center 2 years ago. I don't know. I don't have a super strong opinion on the side. I guess I don't. I wouldn't really bet either one. I was certainly leaning Patriots beforehand, but you guys kind of both talked me out of it. And just kind of looking to see who's healthy, I think that the Saints could be getting a lot of depth back, both in coaches and in players. So, yeah, James, best bet of Saints plus three.
I forgot to mention one thing, too. The lookout for this was a pick. So I think getting a field goal now is just a ton of value for kind of two skewed results last week. So
especially
that was part of the handicap I forgot. Yeah, three is such a key number. So
Austin. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
I mean, it's just, Saints are in just such a perplexing place here where they're on their third straight road game. Next week, I still think they're playing in Jacksonville. It'll be a month straight where they haven't been.
I think they're back next
week. Okay, that's a big. So my main thing is just going forward, how is this team going to be fatigued? It's kind of, you just kind of have to handicap it in your way for this game. I think it will play a little bit of a factor here.
I would agree. I also think it moved because the Patriots handled business and the Saints got pooped on, I also think that it, like, the 3 points within zero are very, very valuable points. So that's kind of like worth more in terms of, implied probability of winning. So, I would say I would call it a slight overreaction. Austin. We're going to Tennessee, where you your best bet is in the Titans Colts game. The Titans are laying 5, and the total, what's the total?
48.
What do we like here?
Well, I'll start with, I don't love it, but it's definitely my best bet. I have between Titans and Falcons, I was kind of flip-flopping, but I'll be strong. I like this Titans play. It's mainly a fade against this Colts offense. I will say this Titans defense, at least Chaz and I said going into the year, this defense is a mess and it's going to be a fade all year. They were giving up wide open long touchdowns all week last week. However, I just think against this questionable Colts offense, especially with the unknowns at quarterback, I don't think it's going to play as big of a factor. I just don't know what to grade this Colts offense with a hurt Wentz. I think Wentz is going to play, according to my sources. He's going to play on two bum ankles, or it's going to be a healthy Jacob Eason. And I think hurt Wentz might be worse. He uses scrambling as such a big part of his, who he is as a quarterback. Last week against the Rams, he was under pressure all week and he was making a lot of plays through scrambling. So I think this week even though the Titans don't have as much of a pass rush, Wentz is going to need his scrambling to make plays. So I'm grading the Colts as a worse team with Wentz. Really, I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with the Titans here. Titans have the firepower on offense. We saw it get going last week. Derrick Henry looked phenomenal. Julio Jones is starting to get involved as well. We know this offense, the potential it has. And if they get 27, 30 points, I just don't see the Colts keeping up. Not to mention the Titans are looking a lot healthier. Luan had the weirdest injury. He hurt himself in warmups last week, but he's fully practicing. He should be a go. Saffold should be a go. And Dupree is also practicing as well. So they shouldn't be too banged up heading into this. I think this number's right. And I mean, it's definitely gone up with just the uncertainty at quarterback news, but if it's hurt Wentz, I'm okay with it. If it's hurt Wentz, we might even get a 4.5 or 4, and I'll gladly take that. Or if it's Eason and it goes to 6 or 7, I think Eason also sucks, so I'll gladly take that as well. So I'm cool with the Titans here.
So I think if Eason starts, I would look at Tennessee Titans alternate spreads. Just I think he comes with way more variance in that, like, he's one of those guys where he's got like the biggest arm ever, but he has no idea where the ball is actually going. So you could get a couple like short fields for the Titans on for offense, potentially if he's throwing picks or making mistakes. I do agree. I'm not betting the Titans this week. I just struggle to put money behind them, but like in pick'ems and stuff like that. I also think Titans aren't a horrible survivor play. I think that it is valuable that they're getting healthier. So don't hate it. James, what do you think?
Give me the green button.
Wow. Hell yeah.
Titans are 1-8 their last 9 at home against Indy. I don't care who plays quarterback. I think the Colts can do enough on defense to shut down Derrick Henry. And if you shut him down, you shut that offense down. I see a lower scoring game, not a higher scoring game. And that plays in the hand of the Colts here. I think this game could definitely land on 3 or definitely under 5.5. So I'm going to take the Colts.
Sounds good.
All right,
Austin and James have a bet. I want no part of that.
Are we locking in 5, or is it what was it going to be when Sunday comes? Because this number is going to change once we learn more about Wentz or Eason.
Yeah, it can be 5. I don't really care. The difference between 4.5 I'm and just 5 saying, is pretty.
No, it's between 5 and 5.5 right now. But we've got 5.
I just think if Wentz gets locked in, it could drop to 4.
Well, the Colts are winning, so it's not going to make that big of a difference.
All right, I like that sound. Okay, fine. We'll lock in 5.
My best bet. I hate this, by the way, but I am I am making myself pick
great
one.
Start to the pod.
I love the Seahawks, kind of. They are road 1-point favorites going to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Total is a very lofty 55. And ultimately what this comes down to is I think the Vikings are getting right now. Kirk Cousins is doing yeoman's work for that team. He is playing some of the best football, like personally, I've ever seen him play. And whether it's play calling or just overall sloppiness, I would attribute it to bad coaching. I'm sure you guys wouldn't really like that, but, I think this team is a mess right now. And sure, I will say they are a couple of bad bounces away from getting an overtime win. And I mean, they're just a missed, like, what was it, like a 45-yarder to
35, 36, I believe,
to beat the Cardinals. That being said, I think they also had plenty of opportunities to just completely take themselves out of that position in general. In terms of, so like, I got to take Seahawks -1 for our contest, but my real best, like where I'm actually going to be putting my money is Seahawks first half and first half team total over. I think I hit Seahawks team total over last week, and I believe I hit the first half last week too. I think those are going to be very good bets for like a continuous amount of time. They start off so super fast, and Russell Wilson is just able to put together these super explosive plays early on. And then when they get the lead, like come to the second half, they're like, oh yeah, we don't really care about first downs. We'll just take off 3 minutes of the clock and then punt it to you, which comes with bad coaching and play calling. I like you could just kind of like see it happening in slow motion. Like the Titans are absolutely going to come back in this game when they had, I believe they're up, what, 14?
Yeah, it's 30 to 16.
And I also a sneaky little play here that I might bet is, I guess this would be somewhat rooting against myself, but you'll probably get a really good plus money price on the Seahawks to be leading at halftime and the Vikings to win the game. I don't know what it's, I mean, I got to attribute it to just like second half game planning. When they have these big leads, they are not putting the game away. And I think that's a huge issue. And I also think Kirk Cousins is good enough to leave somewhat of a comeback. It's very clear that I'm talking myself out of the Seahawks full game bet. that being said, I think they are a supremely more talented team than the Vikings. And I just think that there are negative things going on with the Vikings, coaching staff that I just don't want any part of them in a full game. So I am going to fade the Vikings to take the Seahawks. James, what do you think?
Well, earlier in the week, I teased the Vikings up to 8, but like, I don't love that. I do like your angle on the Seahawks first half. We saw the same spot opening day. And the Seahawks went into Indy and just thoroughly dominated the first half and just kind of ran the clock out in the second half. But just an interesting series note here. The Seahawks have won the last 7 against the Vikings, with most being on the road. Obviously, it's different every year, but since 2016, since Carroll's been there, I think Zimmer's been in Minnesota probably since around that same time. They're 4-0. So obviously, the matchup favors them a little bit. I do lean to the Seahawks in general, and I kind of lean to the under. It's just that a total at 54.5 is just seems really high, especially for a game that I think they're clocking is pretty fast in. So I lean to the Seahawks in the under.
Yeah, I would say this has a good chance to finish.
First half over, and then second half.
Yeah. Austin, I'll let you get to your piece in a second here, but I think like there's going to be a lot of value with a Vikings live line too, just because like the offense can put together explosive plays, and if they are behind early, just like a second half play on the Vikings could be pretty valuable. Austin,
there was a lot of things I liked what you said there, all both of you. I to start with Chaz, I love the team total play. Seattle's going to be able to get whatever they want on this Vikings defense. For stats wise, Seattle's ranking 10th offensively in EPA per play. And the Vikings are ranked 21st defensively. Seattle should be able to get theirs. James mentioned the teaser play at +8. That's awesome. I mean, Seattle doesn't win by that many points. Like, and Vikings returning home in a desperation spot. This is going to be a close game. I think +7 teaser is even pretty good.
Mm-hmm. There's 1.5s too. Like, yeah, those are still very
available.
Mean,
all week, this I've had an angel and a devil on my shoulder for this game. And the angel side's telling me Seattle, because I think they're going to be able to get theirs. But the devil side is telling me that, like, look, the Vikings should be 2-0 right now. If it wasn't for Dalvin getting screwed on a fumble in that Bengals game, they would have kicked the game-winning field goal there. Well, they probably would have missed. And if they didn't miss a 35-yarder against the Cardinals, they would be 2-0. And instead, we're seeing Zimmer here on the hot seat, returning back home in a desperation spot. They actually do have a pretty good home field advantage. This was a note that I had coming into the season. They had one of their worst home fields last year, I think mainly due to the skull and their chant were not there. And I think this home field and this big spot will actually play a big factor. Jazz mentioned Seattle blowing that 14-point lead against the Titans. That's a big problem. I think Vikings live line is going to be very tasty, definitely to find at halftime or at some point into the game. Seattle's just done this over the years where they sit on the ball and they don't know how to end the game. So I'll definitely look into that Vikings play. And to be honest, I might end up taking the Vikings, even though week after week, I tell myself to stop taking the Vikings. And I think I'm going to end up back on them again this week.
I'll be honest with you. I couldn't really blame you.
One more note. Sure. Dalvin seemed like he was hurt all game last game.
He was still gone dominating.
Out three to four different times he went out with a different injury. And I didn't like the Zimmer basically said this week, as long as he's in the game, I'm going to run him down to the ground. Use your weapons, use your options. I get it. But for fantasy owners and for Vikings future holders, Dalvin, I don't know how long he's going to survive in this offense.
And then I think the Seahawks are just, you got guys like great run stuffers like Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams. Like, they're generally a tough team to run the ball against. And
not last week.
Yeah, but Derrick Henry isn't like the rest.
Yeah, that's true.
Which Dalvin Cook is not either. I will give him that. But like Derrick Henry doesn't need an O-line. He'll just break every tackle.
Yep.
One last thing I wanted to add. You said that the Seahawks were 10th in EPA per play, right?
Offense. Yeah.
That includes all this horrible play calling they do in the second half. And like, I would love to, I don't have it in front of me, but I would love to see what, whatever, first like half, just EPA. First half EPA per play offense, yeah. Offensively. Yep. Cause yep. I bet it's a wild number. Alrighty. Those are best bets. Just to quickly recap. James has the Saints plus three. Austin with the Titans minus five. James is betting the other side there. And I've got the Seahawks minus one. Before we get into the rest of the games, just a quick word from Anchor. Thank you to Anchor. First game, Arizona Cardinals traveling to Jacksonville to take on, the Alabama Crimson Tide are traveling to Jacksonville to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cardinals laying 7.5 on a road. The total is 52. Do we have any leans or likes on this number? James, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I like the Jags. I mean, the only person in the world.
Sick man. Sick man.
This isn't really a play on the Jags because it's impossible to play on them. This is just hoping the Cardinals are flat more than anything. So the Cardinals come off two pretty big wins. They're really fortunate last week. Then you get a 10 a.m. start time in humid Jacksonville. In the following week, you get the Rams on the road. So a huge sandwich spot here, or just a look ahead. 10 a.m. kick, you know, West Coast teams usually fare in those. Cliff Kingsbury as a favorite has not been very good, especially laying more than possession. It's ugly. It's super ugly, but nobody's going to do it. I'll take the Jags plus 7.5. I also tease the Cardinals down to 1.5, so... a lot that could go wrong here.
You've got a six-point middle, my friend.
I haven't bet the Jags, but I'm just going to hope this line keeps moving and then get like a seven-point middle.
Goodness gracious.
All right, well, I'm bitter for you green-buttoning me, so I'm green-button this game.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on the Cardinals. Look, I was on the Jags last week versus the Broncos. I thought it was a good spot for them there, and they were just thoroughly dominated. 200 yards less on offense. They probably should have lost by more. But most importantly, they lost 40-20 in time of possession. This defense has been on the field for 75 minutes in their first two games, and they faced the most amount of opponent plays. Now they have to face the quick Kyler Murray and the hot Jacksonville. I think that is a negative for the Cardinals, but I think it's also a negative for this defense, who's clearly going to be pretty gassed going into this game. I just think the Cardinals are going to be aware on them and are probably going to blow it open as the game goes on. Jags also have two corners hurt, Herndon and Henderson. I do agree that there's value on the Jags. This number probably has gotten too high. I want no part of this Jags team. I think the offense looks awful. I think the defense looks worse. I think Cardinals are just going to be able to get theirs, and the Jags they won't keep up. This team sucks. Something to monitor, though, is this Cardinals offense has faced some pretty poor secondaries. It's obviously not going to change this week, especially with Herndon and Henderson hurt. But going forward, could be looking for a good spot to fade them. They do play the Rams next week, just because they need to face a better opponent on defense before I completely mark this offense as elite.
Yeah, I agree with that last point. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot here. This number seems a little too big, but I just don't want any part of the Jags. I lean under, and I kind of want to bet the under, but I probably won't, just because the Cardinals could easily put up like 45 on their own, it seems. Other than that, I'm probably just staying away. I'll be able to have something on it with our bet with James. We hit Colts Titans. Ooh, this is a fun one. I think this is pretty interesting. The Washington football team travels to Buffalo to take on the Bills. The Bills are laying 7.5. The total is at 45.5. Austin, I'll kick it to you. Where are we leaning here?
For me, it's the over.
This is a like for you, right?
Yeah. Bills, right. Washington, I have as the over. Definitely check the weather. The weather's supposed to be about 12 to 13 miles per hour this week. But I just think this total's too low. Washington's defense just allowed Daniel Jones to tear them up. Josh Allen should be able to have his way with them. I think Taylor Heineke is fairly solid. He's not afraid to throw it deep. I'm still not sold on this Bills defense. Yeah, they've done pretty well against two weak offenses in the Steelers and Miami. But crazy enough, I think Heinicke's probably a step up here. I think this total is just too low. I think both offenses are going to be able to get theirs, but that does depend on the wind. I'm hoping for a little less of a windy game. Something that should be monitored that I wrote down here is Josh Allen appears to be struggling with his accuracy. I don't know if you've heard these in podcasts, just because Josh Allen was the most hated man as of two seasons ago. Everyone wanted to fade him. They thought he was a total fluke. He had great arm strength, but he has no accuracy.
Everyone but me.
And all of a sudden he had that heroic year last year and everyone forgot about it. And now weeks one and two, it seems to be coming back again. I'm not going to overreact because he's faced two pretty good defenses. So, and it's not going to get any easier if there's a windy game this week. But I think Josh Allen's going to be fine. Considering this Washington defense just looks pretty weak. He'll be able to get his spread wise. I'm hoping to hear your guys' side, but I'll be on the over.
I'll go. I also like the over. I just think we see a little positive regression from Josh Allen. And I mean, just 6 months ago, Brian Daboll was one of the hottest head coaching. It's probably more than 6 months ago. But he's one of the hottest head coaching candidates, like in the news, and somehow he's stayed there. I think that this was kind of like a big week after a couple week of struggles to kind of put it together a little bit. And so I do think we see strides there. I have concerns about the Buffalo Bills D line in general. So I think that the football team putting up the amount of points they did against the Giants was very impressive to me, especially with how well the Giants kind of controlled the ball. And I am a little optimistic of, I'm optimistic for the football team offense. And the wind does scare me off a little bit. I think overall I would lean to the Bills, but not enough to place a bet on the Bills by any means. And they do seem like a good tease piece too, especially at 7.5.
Agreed.
James, what do we think?
I think I teased them down too. I've made like four teasers. So if it sounds like I teased half these games, I did. I wanted to bet the under the other day, but you guys talked me into just not betting it at all. My only action here will be the Bills tease down. I'm not sure I understand this football team money coming in from 9 to 7.5, and the 7.5 is actually juice to Washington here. So that's really interesting to me. I do think there are going to be points, though. Like, you guys talked me into it. Both defenses have been weaker than they're supposed to on paper. And obviously, Josh Allen due for some positive regression.
No real injuries on either side. So, I mean, Bills have some injuries, but it looks like most of the guys are going to play.
I agree. Chargers traveling.
I think we skipped one, Chaz, by the way.
We did?
I don't know if you have
Ravens
different
order, Lions.
Ravens-Lions.
It's not on the board right now. Sorry.
Okay. Looking at 8.5. Ravens 8.5, total 50.
All right. Ravens are on the road, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're on the road. And then you heard the spread and total there. Do you guys, what are we leaning or liking here? James, ahead. Take it away.
Well, I teased the Ravens down when they're 7.5. currently.
I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah, there's a little theme here. Not a lot of straight bets. I do kind of lean to this over. That'd be my only other play here. The Lions defense is treacherous. In every facet of the word, just so bad. Then on the other side, Goff's actually looked okay so far. His receivers suck, which doesn't help. They've been able to run the ball okay. But, I mean, if
the receivers are solid.
The receivers are horrible. If they get behind here, I still think they can put up a ton of points. I honestly see this playing out maybe like the Niners game week one. The Ravens secondary is really beat up right now. Maybe a little bit of a letdown spot here as well. Yep. Detroit could catch some sleep in. The current number at 8.5, 9, probably lean to Detroit.
I'm kind of with you. I'm leaning Detroit. I don't have a whole lot in this game. Lions, like, they might have got blown out last game, but they've been pretty competitive in their games. I mean, they were winning at halftime. Goff just made a lot of mistakes in that second half. To the receiver point, look, their receivers do suck. I don't know. Is Cephas a tight end or a receiver?
He's a receiver.
He's a receiver.
Okay, we'll consider him a tight end because I think he wears 87. So he's a tight end. So their tight ends are good. The other good tight end is
it's not a tight end.
The other good tight end is Hockenson, and he clearly appears
Hockenson balls.
Yeah, and Goff seems to have Hockenson as his favorite target. So I'm, if anything in this game, I think I'm going to be on Hockenson props, considering they're going to be trailing, considering the Ravens have struggled against tight ends thus far. I think that'll be a good look. Give me receptions, give me yards. I think we'll be fine. And then my old reliable, give me some Goff interception props. I'm 2 for 2 so far hitting these. If you can get it under minus 200, guys, it's literally free money. Definitely take that play. Spread wise, I don't really know. I'll probably take the Lions just because they're competitive. But give me some Goff INTs and Hockenson catches.
My only angle here would be to bet the running backs for the Lions reception totals over. I did this last Monday, went 1 for 2, so I lost on vig there, which sucked. But I do think that just because they're down in some of these games, and like it'll just like dump offs for kind of somewhat big gains will be like very available for Goff. So now,
I have one more thing to add. If your local has some QB matchups, more passing yards, I was able to get minus 150 Goff over Big Ben this week. I mean, we'll get into Big Ben when we get to the Steelers game, but banged up, and the Lions are going to be losing by a lot of passing yards, a lot of checkdowns, a lot of garbage time. Love it. So if you can find something like that, yeah. Big fan of that.
Yeah, like that a lot. Chargers going to Kansas City. Chiefs laying 6.5 or 7, depending where you look. And the total's at 54.5. I hate the Chargers, but that was just heartbreaking to see last week. I'll start. I almost had the Chiefs as one of my likes. It's just felt like a little too big for just the way they've played the regular season the past, year and a half. I saw a PFF tweet that are like, the Ravens made Patrick Mahomes look mortal. If that's really what we're talking about at this point, when the guy had like a 130 passer rating and he was incredible. And like his one bad throw was he got like tripped by his ankles and like released the ball. But like normally he completes that pass. So like, can you even blame him?
Also eight yards per play as well.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. It's the Chiefs offense is still so, so good. And Herbert has definitely struggled to start again. And it was against a Cowboys defense I don't find very good. And it was against a Washington defense that I think might be a touch or that I personally have overrated, I think, the first 2 weeks of the year. And it's as weird as it sounds, I think we've got the same old Chargers. Now, I'm not going to be too quick to say Brandon Staley is Anthony Lynn like, but I mean, it's you get the same thing that we've seen for virtually our entire lives, where the Chargers just outgain their opponent and somehow lose on a last second field goal or some sort of like grave mistake at the end of the game. I thought with Justin Herbert and Staley it'd be a bit better than this, but clearly I'm overreacting. Do you guys see any value with number at 6.5 or 7?
No.
James on the other side, so I'd like to hear his case.
I mean, I was, but it was all gut at that point. Now the gut's going the other way. I mean,
the gut. It was 20 minutes ago we started the pod. You had Chargers as a like.
No, no way. Did I really?
Yeah, you did.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I got to defend him now. The last 6 or 7 times the Chiefs have been favored by over a field goal, they have not covered. They've been winning a lot of games close. And I think the Chargers defense is very good. Last week they yielded a lot of yards and they got beat up a little bit on the ground, but they still only allowed 20 points. And I mean, the 20th point was on a 100 yard field goal that was just banged through on really poor clock management. But the spot just doesn't line up. I think it's a really bad spot. Andy Reid, love them, well coached, you have them fired up. So, I mean, I'm not going to play it, but that's my case for the Chargers, even though I kind of just started making a case for the Chiefs at the end.
You sound like you're really buying in at this point. One thing I'm going to add is this is for the – it's kind of – it's pro-Charger here. The Chiefs running game, which I don't, I'll, like, if I ever mention the run, like, running games, take with a grain of salt, because, like, I don't think it matters a whole lot, and it's very clearly, like, statistically it doesn't, but it, what it looks like to me is that Andy Reid spends about 98% of his time, like, working on and designing plays on passing plays, and about 2% of the time on, like, how he wants, like, his O-line to kind of, like, set up the run, and it, like, very clearly shows. Like this, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this is just a mouthful for me right now. It's, he like doesn't pick up chunk yards like some other running backs like around the league can. And I think that could like give the Chiefs kind of like second and nines and like third and nines that you very clearly need to beat them. So, Austin, what do you think?
Weirdly enough, I'm also changing my gut as this conversation has been going, because my gut said Chiefs, but now I'm thinking, like, I think Chargers actually kind of have the matchups to defend Kansas City, where they have Derwin. Derwin should be able to take Travis Kelce. Asante Samuel Jr. looks like a stud.
Yeah, he balls.
With him and another, with using him and maybe a safety over the top, Hill should be controlled. And we saw, as Chaz mentioned, they don't have a run game. So I don't think this Chiefs offense is going to overpower the Chargers. I think that offense is still incredible, and you can only control them so much. It's almost making me lean to the under when I think about it a little more, especially considering we're supposed to get 13-mile-per-hour wins in this game. And the Chargers, this offense, I mean, look, they have a lot of potential, but the red zone woes have been strange. Herbert really seems to be struggling down there. I use Washington's supposed solid defense as an excuse for them after week one, but after seeing their game against the Giants and seeing the Chargers do it again against the Cowboys, I'm starting to think that they're struggling in the red zone and they're not putting up enough points. Yeah, the Chiefs defense isn't very impressive. That Ravens offense were clicking on them, but that is a different style of offense with Lamar Jackson at QB. So after that, I'm going to take the under, if anything. That'll be my favorite play here. And as for a side, I'll flip a coin on Sunday. Chargers money line. Fuck it. I just decided. Chargers going to win this game.
To be fair,
no, they won't.
One remedy for a very bad red zone offense is a worse red zone defense. Chiefs opponents are 7-for-7 in the red zone scoring touchdowns.
Ideal.
Yes.
To be fair, that is against two very solid rushing teams between the Browns and the Ravens.
Yeah, that's fair.
Eckler is a decent, I wouldn't exactly call him a great goal line back, but they're going to try to pass the ball into the end zone.
Which I, in that case, I hope you like fades to Mike Williams. Are we ready to move on?
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right. Falcons at the New York Giants. Falcons getting 3, total at 47.5. I think I might, may have stepped on your toes a little bit, Austin. Did you want was this supposed to be your best bet?
No, but by Sunday it easily could be.
Okay.
I will start. Two times Daniel Jones has been a favorite for the Giants. Who has he faced? Kyle Allen and Brandon Allen. They are not brothers. I can't believe the Giants are favored by 3 points here. Atlanta, it was a fluky blowout they had last week. They were feisty and even outgained the Bucs in that game. If it wasn't for two pick sixes, they cover that game, as they were only down 3 with the ball in the fourth quarter. I think it was early fourth quarter. This offense still is showing, they showed flashes last game. And I like the use of Pitts last game, especially for my fantasy team. But that offense is showing a little bit of life. Teams that are 0-2 against the spread in week 3 are hitting around 62% in their next game. Bettors are overreacting, and is what that trend is saying. And I'm not going to overreact to Atlanta. I just think their offense is encouraging. The way you're able to move the ball in that great Bucs defense, they should be able to score on the Giants, especially with Taylor Heinicke ate them up last week. The fact that 3 is available, I'm gladly going to take it. The one caveat I will put into this bet, which is why I'm afraid to make it my best bet, is Matt Ryan sucks. Like, I think he could be awful. Like, this could be his final year of his career. I don't know if that arm's still there. Yes. I think Atlanta sucks. They've sucked for the last 5 years. But in this spot, they're 0-2. This is a perfect game to get back on track, to get this offense going against this Giants team. But it's also a desperation game for the Giants here. This is a big game for the Joe Judge and Gettleman tenure for them. If they fall to 0-3 at home with a loss to Atlanta, this The critics will be calling, but I'm going to take Atlanta. I like that they're getting plus three here.
James, what do you think?
I think it's bogus that Austin didn't bring out that 62% trend when I brought up the Jags. But in this game, I don't even know what to do. I think both teams are so bad. I really want to bet the Giants during the week. But like, you guys both like the Falcons, and I've seen other people who also like the Falcons. I don't really even have a reason for people liking the Falcons. They're horrible. I mean, the only saving grace was they were coming back last week against the Niners, the Bucks, before Matt Ryan threw two pick sixes. Yeah, I'm going to stay away. I don't want this any part of this.
I don't want to bet on the Falcons. That being said, I feel like the number's too big, but I still don't want to bet on the Falcons. I just don't think that – I think that we might – or the number might be overreacting to a fantastic Daniel Jones performance, yet the Falcons defense has done nothing to show that they warrant to be a pick, if not better than at New York. I don't know. I lean under. I don't think there's going to be that many points in this game, just because I think we see offensive regression from the Giants. And week one, I watched the Falcons score 6 points on like 180 total yards against the Eagles with no turnovers, by the way. That I was looking at the box score today and it blew my mind. But
by the way, the trend of the team losing their turnovers by three, remember that huge trend?
It went 0-3.
0-2. They both, Packers and okay. Bucks both covered.
I thought it was yeah, that's right. To.
I did notice that. I don't have a lot here. I think that, Matt Ryan just doesn't look great. When Cordarrelle Patterson is currently your best offensive player, I think that truly speaks to how James used the word earlier, anemic your offense is. So.
Free Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I agree. Free Kyle Pitts. Get Calvin Ridley the ball. It's crazy how much better your offense will look if you actually get your most talented players the ball. So, and that's just not happening. That's it. Anything else to add?
No, hate that game.
Alrighty. Another game that I absolutely hate: Bears at the Browns. We'll go to Austin with a weather report in a second, but the Bears are getting 7 points, 7.5, depending where you look. And the total is at 45.5. Austin, quick weather report here.
We are getting 15 mile per hour winds, which, as we remember last year, when it is windy in the Brown Stadium, it does make a big impact, which is why I think we're seeing a total that just keeps dropping.
Ooh. Okay. Before you guys talk about the side, I have a question to pose to you guys. Are you at all worried with Baker Mayfield's current performance? I feel like it hasn't necessarily been up to expectations.
No, not really.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
Okay. They almost beat the Chiefs. It was a weird game against the Texans last week.
You got hurt and they came back in.
Yeah, I think Baker's fine.
Okay. I'll start here. I think that if you like the Bears, look for an alternate spread to get like a 3.5 just for less juice, or just – bet the Browns alternate spread. I think with Justin Fields, he looked very, very bad last week. Now it's an incredibly small sample size, but I do think there is big time potential for this to go very drastically one of two ways, whether it's a Browns blowout or potentially even a Bears big time fight and win. I think it is a good sign that Justin Fields is getting first team reps all week with the team, which I think Matt Nagy is kind of just stupid for not doing from the start. I lean under, but it's not a strong lean and is mostly just to do with steam and the weather. James, what do you think?
I lean to the under. I think that bodes well for the under. We saw last year when it's 15 mile per hour winds in Cleveland, it's like a hurricane going through there. So I actually just bet the under. Here in the weather report. I think if you like the Bears too, I think you have to like that under. I think it's pretty correlated in my mind. I think the Bears right here, they're going to take a run first, kind of keep Fields, slowly work them in, and not do anything too crazy, just kind of keep themselves in the game, limit possessions, and just play a low scoring game, kind of like what we saw last week. I mean, that game literally should have been finished 10-3, but three pick sixes, I think, in the fourth quarter. I made that 20-17. So I lean to the under here, and I also lean to the Bears.
I can't believe how quickly you bet the under when it's Thursday, and that's the Thursday weather report. But
as I kind of liked it anyways. And then like you telling me 15 mile per hour wins.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as the week goes on, I mean, points become a premium. So if Sunday it is super windy, seven seems like a lot of points, but at the same time, I kind of want to take the Browns because I think they're the side. If it is a very windy game, we know how good this Browns run game is. Even if neither team can pass, I trust the Browns offense to still get it going for the most part through their rush attack. They're also used to playing in these windy games already. I'm not going to overreact to Fields' performance last week. It was really bad. That was awful. He basically tried to give the game to the Bengals. I will say he had one of the most athletic fumble recoveries I think I've ever seen. So that was impressive by him. That was the best thing he did all day. It's just a matter of what's Nagy going to bring out. What do we expect from Fields? What do we expect for Nagy to prepare him? And with his comments yesterday, basically saying that Dalton is still their guy, even when he's healthy, not a whole lot of confidence you're giving your rookie quarterback, because if Fields does come out and he shines and they win this game, there is no way in hell you can give this job back to Dalton. I'm with Chaz. I think there's just a lot of variance in this game. I feel bad for Fields because I'm definitely rooting for him, but if it is a super windy game, it's just a tough introduction for your first NFL start. But at the same time, like, there's just a lot of variance here where I think Fields is very live to win this game if he's getting out of the pocket, he's making athletic plays. Or at the same time, I think the Browns go in by 40 if Fields is as bad as he played last week. So sideways, I kind of can't have any part of it. And that total is just going to keep dropping at 45.5. It seems too low. That number just seems too low to bet the under at this point. But I definitely hear both of your guys' arguments to still take the under.
One thing I will add is that I'm seeing the Bears, and I've only shopped this at one book, but I'm seeing the Bears at 4-1 to win the division they're in, currently in first place, or I guess tied first place in. I think there is value to that, because I do think that Justin Fields could elevate this team to a fairly elite level. Now, obviously, the Packers are going to be heavy favorites and heavy favorites for a reason, but I think at 4-1, there's a little value that if you are interested in making that bet, I would not say that's a terrible bet whatsoever. Any comments there?
I'm with you. I think what Fields can provide the spark to this team, he can be a lot like the energy that Jalen Hurts gave this team to the Eagles last year. Which I think if Jalen Hurts came in a little bit earlier, they would have won that division. I'm with you. I think Fields is definitely a lot better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, that is true.
Did you just compare him to Jalen Hurts last year when they tried to lose in week 17, that team, he fired them up.
I'm saying if
in his defense, they had to pull Jalen Hurts out of the game to lose that game. So there's something to that.
If you brought in Jalen Hurts earlier in last year to re-spark the team, I think the Eagles were going to be very live in that division.
Yeah.
They were live anyway. I mean, Carson Wentz is not the answer. Eventually, you have to turn over from your quarterback. I mean, we're looking at two different teams here. But we're comparing the Eagles to the Bears, and the guy who's just sitting on the bench who we haven't mentioned yet is Nick Foles.
Big Dick Nick.
Nick Foles, if Fields is struggling, can we bring in Big Dick Nick? I can't believe first I was having
this
discussion.
Yeah, I don't want him
today.
Playing either.
Why did they get Dalton? Like, Nick Foles is probably just as good as Dalton. They both suck. What are we
Foles
doing?
Foles sucks
here?
More.
Yeah,
I don't
Foles
know.
Is worse.
I think they're
How
both
the hell did Foles
worse?
Win the Super Bowl? And that's got to be the most insane thing ever. He had like 500 yards passing against Bill Belichick in that Super Bowl.
And look at that Eagles team now.
Yeah.
Sold their souls.
Some would say that that's worth it. Cincinnati going to face the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Steelers laying 3, and the total is at 43 or 43.5, depending where you look. Austin, you seem disgusted with this game, so I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I do. It's just I think there's value on this at three. There's value on the Steelers. It's just after getting beat by them last week, I just think the Steelers offense sucks. Big Ben is definitely hurt. My guess is he tries to play. He has a pectoral issue, but Tomlin said we better be ready. Meaning if things change, they'll be ready for the Mason Rudolph show. But I just don't understand how they were favored. Is it not Rudolph anymore?
I believe it's the Dwayne Haskins show.
Oh,
arguably worse.
It's better than Duck Hodges. I'll take it. they were just favored by 5.5 last week against the Raiders, and now we see a 3.5 against the worst Bengals team.
Three flat.
Looking at three. I mean, this number is here. TJ Watt was questionable, and now he seems to be trending upwards to play this week. He should absolutely dominate this Bengals offensive line. It's hard to not take the Steelers at -3. But I really dislike this team.
I love the under this week, even at a low total. I think banged up Big Ben right now is a bottom five quarterback in the NFL, or a bottom five starting quarterback in the NFL, excuse me. He's not throwing the ball downfield. And because of that, like, Najee Harris just gets loaded boxes against this team. Even if he doesn't play, I mean, we'll get Dwayne Haskins going 25 for 30 and then bragging with no touchdowns and bragging about his stat line. on the flip side, I think that when you get I heard someone say this, I thought it was a great point. When you get bad coaches in winnable games, they more often than not play not to lose instead of like doing the creative things that can lead to wins. And I think that's what Zach Taylor's going to do. So we're going to see him run the ball just a million times on first and second down. And on top of that, Joe Burrow had he had his fair share of bad throws and turnovers last week. So I think that maybe instead of kind of like, it'll be Joe Burrow, don't lose us the game. And I don't think that's going to score many points. And we also might get a lot of like midfield punts, and that's from both teams too. And so I think that's just going to lead to a very, very low scoring game. And I do lean Bengals +3. We do have a 3.5 in our contest that we are probably, are we going to go with it? I think the hook's pretty valuable. Do you guys not like it? We can deliberate afterwards, but yeah.
We're to help your total. We're also getting, as of now, 11 mile per hour wins.
Beautiful. James, what do you think?
I think this line is disrespectful. I just don't get it. I don't care if Big Ben's playing left-handed. You're saying these are even teams. The Bengals have given up 10 sacks in 2 games. They're horrible. Like, the Steelers own them. Like, if you look at the series history at home, like, yes, the Bengals have been bad for a few years. They don't lose to the Bengals at home. I like this under two. I just, like, the same reasoning you had, two coaches that are pretty conservative. And, like, last week when the Steelers were down 9 with, like, 6 minutes left.
Oh, they didn't go for it.
They had a 4th-and-1 and they punted. At that point, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I couldn't believe that. Like, it's two coaches like that. So I think we're going to see a pretty low scoring game. But I mean, 3 is just disrespectful. Like, Big Ben's played hurt like the majority of his career. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. Even if he doesn't play and you have somebody else in there, I'm still willing to lay the 3 here. I just don't see the Bengals offense doing anything. I think the Steelers D line and just defense eats.
One thing I'm going to add is that Deontay Johnson still hasn't practiced. You've got a bunch of corners and linebackers on the injury report and like other D linemen outside of TJ Watt. So like the Steelers are going to be missing a bunch of pieces on their defense. And I do like, I think T Higgins does matter whether he plays or not, but I do think that they could struggle to kind of hang with the Bengals skill position players on the outside, especially if T Higgins is playing, regardless of whether or not Joe Burrow has more than a second to throw. I think that Steelers are in a lot of trouble right now. And for a team that, I mean, like, I can't point to that outside of the receiver group, I can't really point to any offensive positional group that's like even come close to like thinking like, oh yeah, that's good. It's just a mess. So I lean Bengals. I love the under. Dolphins traveling to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. Raiders lane 4, total at 44. Austin, I'll kick it to you to start. What do we think?
just you reading off the names just brought back a flashback of their game last year. I cannot believe. So what ended up, the Raiders choked. They won the game. They had it. They had it done in like 30 seconds left. I celebrated. I sent the text.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I needed it. And then what, Dolphins came down and because there was a huge pass interference and they sent it to overtime. Is that how it worked? Or they hit the game winner?
They won in regulation.
Unfucking real. I can't believe that game. This is just a questionable game for me just because we're both quarterback situations. It's Brissett, right? Tua's out?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Carr is questionable. It's just kind of a weird spot for the Raiders considering they're coming off two overachieving games where they were big underdogs, and now they take the role as over a field goal favorite against the Miami team that's fresh off a blowout. And that 35-0 loss, I mean, it was a blowout, but like, once Tua got hurt, they threw the white flag. That game was completely over. And this Miami defense is pretty good. Like, they're going to put up a fight in this game, even if Jacoby Brissett is at the helm. It's just I don't really have an opinion on the side. I just think at 4.5, I think Raiders are in kind of a tough spot here. I kind of lean Miami. That's about all.
Go ahead, James.
You know, the Dolphins were almost my best bet this week, but someone here pleaded for me not to take them. I still like the Dolphins. I think it's just a good spot to fade the Raiders. Two gigantic wins. Just wins like 3-4 point underdogs in both games.
Whole world was against them.
Yeah, now the whole world's going to be on them. Yep. It's a backup quarterback. It's a really good chance to fade them. I really don't think Brissett starting is that big of a deal. Tua has had his struggles, like, just from last year to this year. And Brissett's obviously a pretty experienced veteran. Definitely a serviceable backup. So I think he could do some things in just one game sample size. Also lean to this under. I think the Dolphins defense plays better. And I don't expect them to score a lot of points, especially with Brissett. The offense has struggled so far for them. I just think four is a little too much here. And I think the market's given the Raiders a little too much love. Give me the Dolphins.
I think the number's about right. The Dolphins offense, I don't think is very good. And I'm going to contradict myself a little bit in a second, but, and the Raiders defense has been outstanding. Although I do think there are regression signs, but, I love this over, which is ironic that I just said those two things. It's 44. So pretty low, a low total. And, I think so. The Dolphins it's a smart organization with a good coaching staff. And I just think that they're going to be able to scheme up good plays for Brissett just to succeed. I think that they could arguably have more consistent passing success than they do with Tua. And like Casey Hayward hasn't allowed a completion yet. Like that's probably he's at some point he's going to allow completion, right? And there's a bunch of things like that though that just kind of like signs for negative regression for the Raiders defense. And on top of that, the Dolphins, they kind of struggle at times to get consistent pass rush. And while I think their secondary is really good, I don't know if they have the down the middle talent to kind of hang with Waller. And I think that we could see more big plays from the Raiders. I believe Josh Jacobs he's questionable right now. I think he practiced, so we might get some little boost to the Raiders run game. And overall, I mean, the Raiders offensive line has thoroughly impressed. I thought it was with how much they lost four starters. I mean, I thought it was going to be absolutely just a complete and total mess. And
agreed.
And they've looked outstanding so far. And it's very clear that John Gruden is, I think, I like in EPA per play will back this up. He's one of the best play callers in football. And like from what we've seen Derek Carr do, it's just like this offense is borderline top five for me. So I think 44 is just way too low here. Any rebuttals?
No, just some breaking news. Taylor Heineke just got endorsed by a beer company. And it was not Heineken.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very Bud disappointing.
Light. Bud Light. Dang. Yeah.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. Breaking news here from Sharp Side Podcast.
Appreciate that. Let me refresh and see if the Bills number moves. It did not. New York Jets traveling to Denver. Broncos laying 10.5 at home, total at 41.5. Yeah, my thoughts exactly. I think this number is like a little too big, but I also could just be too low on the Broncos. I want no part of this game. I don't even want any part in the total. I don't even know what to think. James, you can go first.
I might play the Broncos first half here. They've jumped out to gigantic leads both games. They kind of just put on cruise control second half. That'd be my only angle here. 10.5 seems about right to me. I just have no urgency to back the Jets. Yes, I'm backing the Jags, but that's at home in a different spot. We've seen teams struggle the first month going to Denver and playing in Mile High. So I think that obviously helps the Broncos here. The Broncos are my survivor pick for this week. So I will have some rooting interest in this game if I don't play it. Other than that, I hope the 1 o'clock games are better than this.
Yeah, we have Bucks Rams on. Don't watch a second of this because I'm with you. Broncos have just as good as the defense as the Patriots did last week. I see Zach Wilson struggling quite a bit. That Broncos D-line, even though Bradley Chubb's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, they still should dominate this week Jets offensive line. I mean, this Jets team sucks. I mean, they might be worse than they were last year, and last year they almost went 0-17. I mean, just their offensive line is so bad. I've seen a couple clips where it's just like
the TikTok.
Like the 12-year-old talking about
Where they're blocking each other. They're blocking each other instead of the defense. It's tough. This Jets team, I can't back them. And I think 10.5 is kind of a spot I want to take them, but Denver is my side here. As James mentioned, altitude, hot game in September in Denver. That's actually a real home field advantage. Home field's very low this year, but I think that's actually a real one. Traveling to the West Coast, go Broncos for survivor. Watch the Bucks game instead.
Yeah. I think I'm also on Broncos for survivor. So I would argue that 70% of the entire world will be feeling the same thing. Actually, I feel like we're pretty lucky this week because, like, we get the Panthers playing the Texans. People think that I can use the Panthers this week. Oh, no. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What are you trying to say, bro? I'm using the Panthers in my other one.
Nothing.
Oh, I forgot to do mine.
Oh, dude.
I'm gonna do it, too.
Okay.
I'm going to do Panthers in one.
Bucks at the Rams. Bucks lane. Ooh, it's up to 1.5 now. Lane 1.5 on the road. Total at 55.5. James, I know you expressed interest in the Rams earlier in the week. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, where's your like at, bro?
Come on.
What happened?
I was going to bet you on this game.
All right, I'll take it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to play it straight. This is my favorite tease leg of the week. Plus 1.5 to 7.5 for a nice home dog here. Oh, I love it. I lean to the under in this game. I just think both – actually, I don't even know if I lean to the under. I just like the Rams here, honestly. I think they match up well. And this Tampa's just had a lot of like crazy spots. Like you have this game at LA and then next week, Tom Brady goes home to New England. I don't know. There's just a lot of unknowns in this game, but I think the Rams can run the ball pretty efficiently on the Bucks. And I think those new weapons and Matt Stafford come out to play here. Huge game, kind of a statement game. Honestly, I think these are the two best teams in the NFC, but I just don't think the Bucks are 1.5 better than the Rams at this point in the year. So I'm going to take the Rams at home.
Austin, what do we think?
All right. Well, I think Tampa's the best team in the league. I think they absolutely should. I got them in.
By far.
I could not believe I got them at plus money here. I'm very happy with that. At this point, I think the line probably is where it should be. But at the same time, I'm fine with if Bucks even got to 2.5. James mentioned that the Rams should be able to run the ball of them. I don't think the Rams should be able to run the football.
They did it last year. They literally
but they now face the best. Bucks still have the best.
It was the same argument last year. It was the same argument last year.
Here's what's different. Henderson just got hurt last week. Who was their running back?
Sony Michel, baby.
I ain't worried about Sony Michel, who put up, 6 yards in for week one. We know McVay likes to run the ball, and I think with this Bucks rush D, if they control him, it's going to make him very one-dimensional. This Rams defense thus far ranks 18th in non-garbage time. This is against Andy Dalton and Carson Wentz. This should be a warning sign that they aren't as good as a lot of people think. This is just going to be a big step up in competition. Even if Antonio Brown's out, that doesn't matter. This Bucks offense has so many weapons. They're going to be fine. I'm not going to overreact to this Rams team. I think they are damn good. I really like what this offense is, but They beat up on Andy Dalton, and they easily should have lost to the Colts last week if it wasn't for some Colts red zone errors and Wentz getting hurt in that game. I just don't know what it's proven to the market that they would open as favorites in this game. And now I still think there's value on the Bucs. So give me Tampa. I love that I'm betting you.
So, Austin, earlier you said that you needed to see something from, like, the Cardinals against, like, a good secondary, which I think is totally fair. Like, what's different for this Rams team? Because, like, they've beaten up on two teams that they should have. Oh, and they didn't even really beat up on the Colts. They had a very unlucky, was a punt block for a touchdown or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, like, as fluky as it gets. But they also had Carson Wentz throw what I would consider one of the dumbest interceptions I've ever seen on the goal line. Whether it's just like the shovel pass right to whatever Rams linebacker caught it or something.
They also got stuffed on the first possession of the game. They were at the 1 yard line and didn't score.
Exactly. And so, and I mean, I guess credit to the Rams goal line defense, but I don't think that this defense, you're saying it's like the other elite team in the NFC, and like I'm not ready to go so far to say that yet, especially when we've got 15 games left and that defense needs to stay healthy, which there's not a lot of depth there. And then with Stafford has made some absolutely incredible throws this year, and Cooper Kupp seems to be wide open every play. But once again, you're not going up against these like elite secondaries. And I would hesitate to call the Bucs secondary like truly elite, like you might find around the league. It's still pretty,
especially when it's hurt.
Yes, it's still pretty freaking good. And they're going to be able to get a pass rush that I think the Bucs are just a vastly better team here. I do like a Bucs team total over. I think if one thing's clear, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady got together over the summer and they're like, all right, you're going to break all of these records. And I wish there was a bet, or I wish I could bet that Tom Brady was going to throw 70 touchdown passes this year, because I genuinely think that he is very live to do so. I think Bucs team total over is worth a bet too. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. Any rebuttals?
I mean, the same points applied for the Rams. I mean, this Bucs secondary has yielded let me look it up. They yielded over 300 yards passing last week. And then week one, Dak threw for 400. So they've given up 700 yards through the air the first 2 weeks. And it's not Goff anymore. Even if you shut down the run, Stafford's done this in Detroit. Like, he's done it on his own. I think he has the weapons there too, with Woods, Kupp, and at tight end, to just really exploit the secondary. Honestly, I kind of just like this over now more than anything.
I think we've talked ourselves into points.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of points, I guess. So,
and it'll be an outstanding football game. I'm excited.
I agree.
I think that my main point is that I would like to see the Rams like kind of go up against a team of this caliber before we start anointing them as like the clear-cut second best team in the NFC. I think that's my main point. And I think because of that, I'm kind of getting excited about the Bucs. So that's just like personal bias speaking, probably. We already hit Seahawks Vikings. Ugh, I hate that.
Sunday night football.
Green Bay Packers traveling to take on the Niners. I'm seeing a 3 right here. I'm sure if you looked around, you could catch a 3.5. I'm seeing it's juice 3s, plus 100 for the plus 3. Total at 50. I think right here I got a bet, just because the Packers are a dog. I think if you can get Packers over 23.5, over 24, I think that's quite possibly, now that I think about it, one of my favorite bets of the weekend. I know, Austin, you like the over in this game. I definitely lean that way too. So I'll kick it to you and tell me why you like this over.
Yeah, I'm spread wise, I'm a little mixed. I think I'm on the Packers side, especially since we have that 3.5. But I do like this over, especially that we're getting it under 51, the key number 51. Although I'm not sold on this 49ers offense, the performance last week against the Eagles, they were dominated. Their offensive line was dominated by the Eagles pass rush. And the Packers don't have that similar pass rush capability, especially with Smith hurt. I think they actually recorded their first sack of the season last week at the end of the game. And this 49ers offense, they've dominated the Packers offensively in years past. This Packers defense is still not impressing me. Lions tore them apart in that first half. Goff made some dumb mistakes in the second half, which kept the game, kept their score at 17. I do think 49ers are going to be able to get theirs. And then 49ers injuries, their secondary is pretty banged up. They're missing Verrett. They're still very thin. If there's anyone who's going to take advantage of that, it's Aaron Rodgers. I think this Packers offense is going to be able to get whatever they want. I was happy to see that their offense is clicking again. Rodgers just seemed like he was doing whatever the hell he wanted out there. Aaron Jones looked very good as well. I just think over has to be the play here. And then, yeah, I think I'll also take the Packers.
James, what do you think?
I kind of lean the other way. I mean, I just have a sour taste in my mouth watching the Packers go to California and in Florida and just routinely get blown out. I don't know what it is, but they're – last 2 years in games not in California and Florida, they are, let's see, I think they're 30-7. They're 0-4 in Florida and California games. It's just a really weird stat. I like what I saw from last week, and I get what you guys' points are about the Niners, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still kind of the same trend. It's the same coaching schemes. Not a whole lot has really changed in my mind from 2 years ago to now, or even last year. I'm sure I'll end up playing it since the Sunday night game, it's a standalone game, but for now, nothing for me.
And then Austin, you kind of got to get moving. So really quick Monday night, Eagles at the Cowboys, Eagles getting 3.5, total at 51.5. Austin, I'll kick it to you. What do we like?
I don't really know. Cowboys certainly got lucky last week with referees and red zone defense. I just think the Eagles are going to be able to move the ball at will here. This Cowboys defense just isn't very good. I think the fact that they're getting 3.5, probably pretty valuable. So I'll be on the Eagles side, and I think you might want to sprinkle that money line as well.
James?
Same sentiments. I just don't like this Cowboys defense. I think they're incredibly lucky last week. They had the refs and some really bad red zone offense working for them, like the Eagles.
I lean under. I guess I also lean to the Eagles. My case for the under is that I think Mike McCarthy just saw a bunch of chunk run plays. So we're going to get a lot of Kellen Moore called run plays this week. That ultimately will just lessen the Cowboys scoring and keep the clock rolling. On the flip side, I think the Eagles will do what they have to do to the offense really struggled last week, and I think it kind of exposed certain ways to slow them down. So
I heard an interesting point that you just mentioned there, that Cowboys winning last week was the worst thing that for their season. The fact that they ran the ball 30 times and ended up winning the game, it's just not a plus EV play. It's not the way they're going to be able to succeed this season. Meanwhile, their first game, they threw the ball 58 times, and I don't know. I prefer Dak and his passing offense than forcing it down Zeke and Pollard's throat. Eventually, they're going to have to switch to Pollard. I don't know how this dual back system is going to work. It works when you're running the ball 30 times, but I don't think that's the way they're going to win games. The clock was melting in that fourth quarter, and kudos to them for winning it. I will say that their game planning and their play calling on their final drive to settle for a 56-yard field goal was the dumbest thing I think I saw.
They had a timeout, and they let, I think with 26 seconds left, they didn't spike it. They just stood there at the line of scrimmage and like, yeah, we'll take a timeout.
It made no sense. I didn't get
it's beyond me. And you know what? Getting 3.5 points, if they're pulling shit like that, those 3.5 points are going to be very valuable. So yep. I guess that's talking me into the Eagles a little bit more. Also, Nick Sirianni seems like he's very, very fired up for this. He compared it to a college football rivalry, which I kind of like. Anything to add?
Underdogs are barking this week.
Yeah, sounds like it. I was underdogs and totals.
And teasers.
Before we go, make sure you guys follow at the Sharpside Pod on Twitter and download the BetSports app. And follow our featured page there at the Sharp Side Pod. Same thing with our profile. Rate, review, and subscribe to Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit the follow button. So just so you get notified when we release a podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Very excited for NFL football. James was not on the college pod last night, but I, if you are interested to listening to that, that will be up. It is up right now. And, Austin, what are we doing this weekend?
Two things. One, we were bad last week. We were pretty bad at tweeting the NFL plays just very late before kick. We'll try to do that a little quicker this week.
I'm aiming for a Saturday night.
Yeah. Even though it's embarrassing for Chaz and I to post our 0-2 records, we do have our likes. And we do have our best bets. We will try to get those up a lot.
And I'm going to keeping track of our records of betting between each other too, just because I think that'll be fun. Yep, Austin, we are 0-1 right now. James is the king at 1-0. All righty.
Let's go win some money.
Let's do it. Let's get out of here. Thanks, guys.